as we anticipate saying farewell to you in a few weeks, we've been looking at these farewells in the Bible. And we saw Moses' farewell to the children of Israel back in the beginning of January, a few weeks ago. And then we saw Joshua farewell. Last week we talked about Joseph's farewell and about forgiveness. This morning I'm going to share with you about David's farewell before he passed away. He didn't move to Texas, he just moved to heaven. Some days that would be easier. You don't have to pack to go to heaven. And next week we'll talk about Paul's farewell to the Ephesian elders. And then finally, we will share Jesus' farewell before he left the planet. Pastor Bafour informed me this morning, because we're going to be back here visiting family at Easter, that I'll be preaching on Easter Sunday. So I just wanted to play the trumpet, but we'll see what happens. So let's pray and look into God's word. Father God, we just thank you. We thank you that geographical distance doesn't separate us from you. And geographical distance doesn't really separate us from brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank you for technology that allows people to attend our church, whether they're in Randolph or in Dallas or in Minsk, Belarus, or in Berlin, Germany, or wherever they might be. And Father, I just thank you that as we now are in this COVID for almost a year now, that the church has not weakened, but has actually, I believe, God, grown stronger. Amen. And we've widened our reach, and we've been more caring in the community. And Father, I just pray that that would continue in the days and weeks and months and even years ahead. And we pray all this in, and pray now that you would speak to us through your word, in Jesus' name, amen. So David, you know the story of David. I remember when our kids were little, there was an old song we used to sing with them, Only a Boy Named David. I can still picture myself in our house in Illinois with Timothy as a tiny little baby, and I'd be sitting in this rocking chair, and I'd sing, Only a Boy Named David, only a little sling, only a boy named David, but he could pray and sing. Only a boy named David, only a little brook, only a boy named David, but five little stones he took. And one little stone went into the sling, and the sling went round and round. And one little stone went into the sling, and the sling went round and round, and round and round and round and round and round and round and round. And one little stone went up in the air, and as they got older, they would do this with me. And one little stone went up in the air, woo, 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 woo. And the giant came tumbling down. And then the song doesn't go on and say, and then David cut off his head. Somehow that stopped in the Sunday school lesson, the rest of the story. And then David took his sword and cut off the giant's head and picked up the... Never mind, I think I got up on the wrong side of bed this morning. Well, the most famous story of David is the story of David and Goliath. And Saul was the king of Israel, and Goliath was this, mighty Philistine, probably 9 feet tall, would have been great in the NBA. And he was taunting the nation of Israel, and David is this little runt of a kid, probably maybe 16, 17 years old at the time, we don't know for sure. And David comes to the camp to bring supplies to his brothers who are in the army, and he sees this Philistine, potato, potato, doesn't matter. He sees this Philistine giant taunting the nation of Israel, taunting their God, and David says, what's the matter with you guys? You're going to let this pagan taunt you? I'll take care of him. And they go, you? You know, you who, you know, weigh you know, 90 something pounds in the shower wet? You're going to take care of this giant? And they bring him to King Saul, and King Saul says, okay, if you want to do this, it's your funeral. Why don't you put my armor on? And David, this little kid, puts on Saul, and Saul was a big guy. Remember, he stood a head above all the other Israelites, and he puts the armor on, and David says, I'm not going to use this armor. I'm not used to it. It's too big. It's clanky. I'm just going to go. I mean, I've killed a lion. I've killed with a bear as protecting my sheep as a shepherd, and I'm going to just grab some stones out of the brook, and I got my slingshot with me, and I don't know why he took 5 stones. Do you ever wonder that? It says he took 5 stones. He only needed one. One little stone went into the sling went round and round, and the giant came tumbling down. And then David cut off, never mind. And then Saul said, you know what, David, I want you as part of my inner circle. And remember, God rejected Saul as king because Saul had been disobedient to God. He was a great military leader. But he did things his own way rather than God's way. And God rejected Saul. And David would become the second king of Israel. David was the musician king. Matter of fact, if you read the book of Psalms, it's more than just a book of the Bible. It's a song book of the Bible. And David wrote many of these songs. Now, the tunes have not survived antiquity, but the lyrics have. Just about everybody knows one of his most famous songs. It was in the top 10 on the Jerusalem station. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He makes a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For your rod and your staff, they comfort me. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Everybody knows that song David wrote. Just about every funeral, someone reads that song. David wasn't a perfect leader, though. David was not a perfect leader. Does God use imperfect people?
Yes, sir.
Look in the mirror. I looked in the mirror this morning and said, there's an imperfect person God has used. David was not perfect. As a matter of fact, David fell into this grievous sin. One day, while his army was at war, he saw this young lady from his rooftop bathing. Remember her name? Bathsheba. And David said, you know what, I'm the king, I can do what I want. Even though he knew God's law, even though he knew there was a commandment that said, thou shalt not commit adultery. And David called Bathsheba in. And sure enough, finds out that she's pregnant. Instead of admitting the sin, David covers it up. Matter of fact, he brings Bathsheba's husband home from war, thinking maybe if I bring him home and give him a little leave, he'll go visit his wife while he's on leave, and he'll think the baby is hers. But Uriah doesn't do that. Instead, he says, I'm not going to go in and be with my wife when my fellow soldiers are in the heat of battle. And he sleeps outside the door. David's goes from bad to worse. And David sends him back to the battlefield and tells the general, listen, send him in with the front lines. And as he gets close to the wall, withdraw and make sure he doesn't come back alive. Not only does David break the thou shalt not commit adultery commandment, he breaks the thou shalt not murder commandment. And he's confronted by a prophet named Nathan. And Nathan tells a little story about a guy who has all these sheep, and yet he steals a lamb from a poor person. And David is enraged and says, I want that man put to death. And Nathan says, you're the man. You've had everything as king, and you stole that poor man's lamb. And God judged David. As a matter of fact, the judgment was so severe, it's hard to understand. But the child that Bathsheba was carrying, that David planted in her, did not survive as a judgment of God. Severe judgment. Give you a little parenthesis. Give this to you for free. Sometimes people ask me, what does the Bible teach about children who die in childbirth? Will I see that child in heaven? What about children who die before they can even understand? I go to that passage about David and that child because David, before the child dies, David is mourning and fasting and praying that God would relent from this judgment. And then the child dies, and then David stops fasting and starts shaving and, you know, taking care of himself. And the people come to David and they say, David, when the child was still alive, you fasted and you were in mourning, but now that the child has already died, now you've stopped fasting, you've stopped mourning, you've stopped wearing the sackcloth. And David says, while the child was still alive, I prayed that the Lord would relent. But now that the child is gone, I know that I will see him again. The Bible doesn't specifically say a lot about what happens, but I believe in a just and merciful God. And I believe those who've lost little ones before their time, I believe God in his justice and mercy, just like with David and Bathsheba's son, takes them to be with himself. So it's interesting, I give you all that background because it's interesting that David's farewell address is to his son Solomon. And who is Solomon's mother? Bathsheba. Bathsheba. God is merciful. And God uses imperfect people. And what I want you to remember is this. David knew his days were numbered. His desire was to leave a legacy to his son and a path for him to follow. Parents, grandparents, you know what a legacy is? A legacy is more than leaving your children your money or your property. It's leaving them a reputation to live up to. It's leaving them godly values to practice. I try and walk every day, and one of the things I do while I'm walking is pray a lot. It's a good time to pray. The last couple of days, I haven't walked outside for some odd reason. And so I came in here, not as interesting, and I walk around the room. I walk up and down the stairs, and I walk around, and as I was praying this last couple of days inside, I even started doing it a little bit this morning. Here, I go, Lord,